and welcome to RMU Chat, RMU Radio's premier talk show. I'm your host, Malik Johnson, here for another semester. With me, I've got an all-new cast. Shayla.
Hi.
Miller.
Hello.
Tanner.
How you doing, guys?
Introduce yourselves around the table before we start.
I'm Shayla. I'm a sports comm major, and I'm usually in the newsroom.
I'm Miller. I am undecided.
Are you really undecided?
Yeah, I'm undecided with an interest in journalism. So sometimes I say journalism.
So I have this question every time I come to someone who's undecided. Why are you spending $40,000 a year here to be undecided?
Because you have to get prerequisites done anyways. And they're pretty similar depending on which major.
But you could do them at community college for like $2,000.
You know what, you could. But with that same regard, why wouldn't you get your prerequisites for any major?
So that being said, are you a communications major then, technically?
No. I think like the only communications classes that I'm taking is info gathering for journalism with Ready.
Yeah. And me.
All right. And the last person.
My name is Tanner Crackle. I am a digital cinema major, and I am staff on RMU Century Media and Colonial Sports Network.
All right, so if you've never heard the show, each of us come to the table with a topic. We discuss it for about 15 minutes, and we'd like to play music in between. So what I want to talk about is what's it been like in school for 2 weeks now?
It's different.
All right.
But it's not like, I think it's just more school, just with more stressed out classes.
Yeah, it's not that big of a jump from high school as I thought it would be. Like, yeah, there's more freedom, and if you skip a class, nobody's really going to remind you about it. But as long as you go to class and get all your work done, there's no real issue. And it's nice to be away from home.
Yeah, it is nice being away and having that freedom of pretty much doing whatever you want, whenever you want. But it's still basic school, and being the second week, it's still probably not as hard as it's gonna get. And freshman year is definitely the easiest, I've been told, so we're still in for a pretty big hurdle to climb over. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's fun. It's a little stressful having to keep up with everything, all this online stuff, and keeping track of all your classes, and being media major, having all the shows and everything to work with the Colonial Sports Network, figuring out games and stuff. But I'm sure once you get more settled into the university, I'm sure it'll start coming easier.
All right. So you're all a part of Century. Do you guys plan on doing anything else? What other clubs and organizations are you guys interested in?
I was walking around the activities fair. There were some that kind of like jumped out at me. There were like some just like minor ones that just seemed like people getting together and almost like trying to have like an excuse to like just play games mostly. It was like what a lot of them seemed to be. But then there are the ones that are like the Italian club and
American Sign Language.
Yeah, American Sign Language. But that wasn't at the activities fair. That was just on org sync. But a lot of the other ones seemed like Top Secret Colonials seemed like interesting. I know they're the ones raising
Harvey stuff.
Yeah, supplies Wheatley. For Harvey and Wheatley.
Yeah.
So
I actually didn't get a chance to see the Top Secret Colonials booth because I was just stopping through on my way to class.
Yeah, they were kind of at the end.
I signed up for the History Club, and I also became a member of the SCJ Club, which we are pending induction for that. And as far as your basic college fraternities and sororities go, not really interested in them. If one comes along, maybe. But other than that, besides Century and my classes and then SCJ, not really sure what I'm doing as of extra club yet.
think I'm just going to figure my way around Pittsburgh first before I do anything besides Century, because I don't know what Pittsburgh is or what it's like. Just figuring it out.
So have you been down to the city yet?
I went, kind of, we went into Lawrenceville, I think it is.
Okay.
To get rolled ice cream, but that was about the extent of it. But we're going, my roommate and I are going to the Incline on Friday, and then to the Strip District Saturday morning with her mom.
Okay, your roommate's from Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, she's like, she lives in Cranberry, which I guess is okay, like, yeah, it's like 30 minutes away.
So she's just naming all these places, and you're just like,
yeah,
what
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Cranberry.
Cranberry. I know. When she told me, like, Cranberry, to me, like, I picture, like, this very rural area with, like, cows or something. No. And it's, like, this super populated area with, like, all these different restaurants. And there's, like, a Dick's 5 minutes down the road. And I was like, I don't know what that is.
I've never had rolled ice cream. How is it?
It's really good, actually. Like, I have a video on my phone that I sent to my mom. It was great.
Everyone takes videos of them making it. And
yeah.
I see them all. I'm just like, what is this? Is it taste like ice cream?
It
I
tastes
assume.
Like ice cream.
Yeah, it must be new because, like, I've never seen this before.
It's like, it's like this little strip in, like, Lawrenceville. And actually, there's like a lot of cool restaurants and stuff down there. And it's just like this little tiny, I'm going to describe it as like this hipster place. You just get in line and they ask you what you want and then you write your name on their bowl and you get handed off to someone and they just like, it spins.
Okay.
And they just pour, like, must be like the mixture for the ice cream, and it's liquid at first, and they mix like everything in and just scrape it up.
All right.
It's cool. They make it all decorative on top. She wrote my name in the chocolate syrup. It was cool.
Nice. There was one that popped up in Mount Lebanon recently as well.
I don't know where that is.
Well, it's where I'm from.
Okay.
So I don't think it's as good as Au Naturel, which is the one in Lawrenceville, but it's pretty good. But yeah, they just kind of have a frozen metal sheet that they pour the I think it's just like a dairy solution or something. They just pour it on there, mix it with some like fruits, chop it up, let it freeze, and then roll it.
It's kind of like Cold Stone, but not already frozen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? What are you guys excited about? I don't know.
I'm excited about my, so my brother goes to actually Division II college. He goes to California University of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And me finding out that Robert Morris was a Division I college kind of got me excited because we both played football in high school, but neither one of us are pursuing in college. But I just think it's cool the fact that he goes to a D2 school, I go to a D1 school. I just think it's kind of cool. I've been to some of his games. He still has to come up to some of the games up here. The school year just started, but I just think it's kind of cool to look forward to that. And being with Century, we just interviewed 2 Division I soccer players yesterday. They're from New Jersey. They're twin brothers, and they've played on the same team with each other step by step their whole lives. So it's really, really cool to see how they came from New Jersey and Division I took them to Robert Morris. And I think it's pretty cool from the sports aspect.
All right. All right, I guess that's all we have for now. We'll be back. And when we come back, Miller, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about tattoos.
Tattoos? All right, stay tuned to hear about tattoos with Miller.
Yeah, how are you gonna open that one up?
still think he's a good actor.
All right, everyone. Before the break, Miller decided we were going to talk about tattoos for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
This is your topic. You gotta.
Okay. Well, I know that two of us in this studio have tattoos. What's your opinion on tattoos?
I believe if you're going to get a tattoo, make it something that's either a symbol or important to your life. Don't just get a tattoo to have a tattoo. Like, you see all these, like, now what you get is not necessarily a big deal if it's something that means a lot to you or is sentimental or is a big symbol to your life.
Hmm. But if it's in a place that no one can see it, why does it matter what it is and what it means?
That's a good point.
True.
I mean, if you decide to get it in a place where no one's going to end up seeing it, then I guess it's not a really big deal. But I just think if you're going to go spend the money on a tattoo, might as well get it something that's going to mean something to you whenever you do see it or look at it or think about it, that it's going to remind you of the reason you got it.
Just don't get a poopy looking one.
Don't get a what?
Crappy looking tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
It's like some people pay for like the $60 tattoos and they look like awful, but yet they like rat on people who pay like $100 for a tattoo, but it looks better than their $60 tattoo.
Yeah. How much is like an average tattoo? Like, how much should I spend on a tattoo?
My tattoo was $400. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you have to like come back for different phases of the ink, or because I know some people who come back and then they have to take some time and then
Some people do that in stages, and it's because they bleed. Like, I have a friend that like has the outline of his sleeve but not the coloring of his sleeve, and the reason that it is because his sleeve is so intricate that if you were to do it all at once, he would probably pass out, because you bleed when you get a tattoo. It's not just like, yeah, here's some ink, you bleed.
Agree or disagree? Smart decision for people to get their last names on their backs, or bad decision?
It's up to them. I mean, it's their body. Soldiers used to tattoo their information on them in case they got blown to bits, so.
Yeah.
So I think it's an okay decision, depending on who you are. I know, like, people who have super, like, ethnic names that can be traced to generations usually get, like, their names tattooed on their back. But if your name is just Smith, I don't think anyone cares who... You don't have a reason to put Smith on your back.
Right, there's no, like...
Like the people that tattoo their birthday on their body?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Now, locations. Where would be an ideal good location for a tattoo? I know you can obviously get them anywhere, good, bad decisions, but where would be, like, an ideal spot for a general tattoo?
Based on, like, pain-wise or based on professionalism?
Kind of both. That wouldn't hurt too bad, but if you obviously don't care about pain, then it wouldn't matter, and it would kind of look presentable in a way.
Well, if you it depends on your profession. Like, someone who wants to be on TV or something, obviously you can't get a tattoo on your wrist or on your neck or your face. You have to have somewhere you can hide it, but, like, if not, like, my best friend is a photography major, and she has tattoos all down her arms, but it's not going to matter in her profession. She's a photographer. She's not going to be publicly advertised in a way, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. She's going to be behind the camera more.
Yeah, than anybody's ever going to like. And if she really needs to wear something she can cover, they make long sleeve clothes.
Yeah. Also, I'd like to add that, like, a lot about where you put a tattoo symbolizes the sort of like meaning behind it. And if you get something, like, for instance, if you get something on your chest, like on the left side of your chest, it's like over your heart, and therefore you, like, it's something that you really believe in. And if you put something like on the like back right shoulder or back left shoulder, it means that it's like something in the past that you like leave behind you.
Yeah, makes sense.
Now, Miller, we found out that you had a tattoo before the show. Do you plan on, well, first off, how long have you had that tattoo?
I got this tattoo February of this year.
So when you turned 18?
No. That would be May, 2 years ago.
You're 20 years old?
No, I'm 19.
Okay, that makes sense. All right.
Well,
okay, what? When?
You're 19?
Yeah, so I turned 18. Oh, I guess it would be last year.
Yeah.
May,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, that was really confusing.
All right, well.
Okay.
Do you have plans on getting another one, Miller?
Not currently. I feel like if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, you should definitely have the tattoo in mind and then probably think about it for roughly a year or maybe like 6 months if you can't wait that long. But just to make sure that you won't like regret it after getting it. I just think that's pretty much the biggest thing with getting a tattoo is that you have to understand that it's going to be on your body forever. So you have to be like okay with it. And as long as you're okay with having that kind of like be a part of you, then it's fine to get it.
Some people's tattoos are defining of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on where you put it, who can see it, who cannot.
There was one person who just has lemons on her back. I asked her if she got those for like a meaning, and she said no, she just likes lemons.
I don't know. My aunt has an owl tattooed on her, and she just really likes owls.
Yeah, I think that's fine. You can do whatever you want with your body, but you know, you just have to be accepting of it. Because if you're not, then you're really going to hate that decision for the rest of your life.
Mm, that's on them.
All right, so Shayla, what's your tattoo?
My tattoo is actually a mountain scene from the Adirondacks with some mandala in the back.
And what made you get that?
I love to go hiking. It's a family thing that we do.
Okay.
We take, my mom has 7 other siblings besides herself. So there are 20 grandchildren. So I have 18 other cousins. So the one thing that we can do that tires the kids out and gets them going is go hiking. So we take the dogs, we take the kids, and we just go hiking for the day and bring some lunch. So I wanted to bring it with me because I'm not in New York anymore.
Yeah, when did you get your tattoo?
The day before I left for college.
Oh, okay, so it's still new.
Yeah, like it still itches and everything else. It still has to have lotion put on it twice a day, all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, Malik.
Yeah.
I do not believe you have any tattoos.
I don't know.
Do you plan on getting one?
So, I don't have anything that I think that like I would want as a tattoo. There's nothing. If something comes up that I really want, sure, maybe. But there's nothing that I really want. What about you?
For me, I don't have any. And I would say I'm planning on it, but I'm still not necessarily planning on it yet because I am still trying to figure my life out in college. But the only thing I would get tattooed is I have been a volunteer firefighter for the last 3 years. Me and my brother both joined the volunteer fire department, which is right down the road from my house. And I was kind of new to it, didn't really know what was going on, just a bunch of these people down here. Then we started to form like a kind of bond.
Okay.
To where that you know, no matter what happens, when the tones drop, that someone will have your back. So I've kind of been thinking since I'm going off to college and that I'm still an active member, but I'm not around anymore. I've been wanting to get like a fire Maltese cross on my shoulder, okay, but not necessarily any station number yet. But that's about as far as the thinking is going. I am thinking about getting one for sure because it's a symbol. I believe it changed who I am and what I believe in a good way. So I'm still teetering on it, but as of now, I want it, but I don't know if I will get it now or in the future or at all.
Okay. So tell us about being a volunteer firefighter. What's that like?
It's nerve-wracking. I actually ran my first fire call. It was a car wreck at a Gecko gas station about 20 minutes after I was sworn in as a member. we had a meeting, they swore me in, and I got fitted for gear and all that, and we just got home from the station, and our fire pager went off, and I'm like, well, this is going to be fun. So we went down there, and we got on scene of the car wreck. It was, I believe, two cars and a motorcycle. Just couldn't decide where they were going. And I guess none of them were hurt, but there was glass and stuff all over the roads from the windshield. So they told me to grab a broom, so I grabbed a broom and just kind of stood there not knowing what to do, not knowing anything. And they're like, the broom's not going to hurt, just start brooming up the glass. I'm like, oh, okay then. So I just started working with that, and my chief and other members of my department were helping me get through things. I have to learn the truck, and 3 years later, you still can never be prepared exactly for what's going to happen. Like, so it's always nice training, recertification, more training, drills. It's a lot of work and dedication for being 100% volunteer, like in your free time.
But so do they let you be a fire? Do they let you like take out the fires?
So I got it's called essentials training when I was 16. I did mods 1, 2, and 3, which are intro to fire service, hazmat awareness, and exterior fire. Okay. They would not let me take interior fire, interior attack, until I was 18 because the end of the course required a live burn.
Okay.
So I got certified for everything except live burn and just waited around, turned 18, senior year, working after football, just never got a chance, and then now I'm in college, so I still am not certified for live burn. I still have to take, I'll probably just end up taking essentials again because, like I said, training, retraining, recertification, it's all good to do. So I might just take the whole essentials class again and then get live burn certified. But at this time, I'm not certified to go into structures, but I am certified pretty much for anything else besides interior attack.
Okay. Do you want to be a fire? Like, what made you join the volunteer fire?
So it was kind of weird. My brother was just down just around one time a couple years ago, and he was like, hey, he talked to my mom about possibly joining the fire department. And he's like, oh, I think it'll be cool. So I went down with him, and he filled out an application and started talking to the guys, and then he joined.
Okay.
So seeing him, he joined a year before I did. So it took a year seeing him go on calls like out of nowhere. Like, we'll be sitting at the table eating dinner, and the pager will go off, and he's gone. And it's just seeing him and then coming back and him telling me all the stories and the stuff he's done and the people he's helped out. And I started getting a little more involved by going down on meeting nights with him and just talking to them and all that. And they're like, you should join. So I brought it up to my mom, and she was like, if you really want to, you can. So I filled out an application, and I joined about a year after he did. And we've both been at it ever since. It's crazy. Because the calls that I run that he doesn't, he's obviously worried about me and my safety, and the same way other thing around. I mean, we're kind of worried about everyone.
Yeah.
Like, since I've been up here, we've already had a structure fire that neither of us were able to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But I still worry about, like, my chief and my fire captain and all that, just making sure everything goes safe, because you never want to be that headline in the news that you see. So it's a lot of emotion, it's a lot of time and dedication, but it's a close-knit family, and I really enjoy it.
So would you ever think of joining the volunteer fire station down the road? Or?
I have thought about that. It's crossed my mind. I don't think I will, because in Allegheny County, I do not believe you can be a part of more than one volunteer fire department.
Okay.
So I think I'm just going to keep my membership with my home fire department and just run calls when I'm down there.
All right. Do you still have your pager with you?
No, I keep my pager at the house, but I am in the system with Allegheny County Dispatch for text pages. So every time we get a call, I get a text page about it.
Oh.
So that's what makes me kind of concerned and just makes me think, all right, they're going out to do their job. Let them come back safe. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, and I do get through high school, I have gotten multiple people, not really friend circle, but kids I know, saying, man, if I was ever in a burning building or my car was ever upside down, I wouldn't want you to show up. I'm like, you say that now, but I've had multiple occasions where people I know wrecked probably 300 feet from my house, and I ran, and I was the first on scene. We beat the police department on scene, and they were all out, and they were all safe. And then she came to school the next day and started telling everyone what happened. They're like, yeah, Tanner was there. Him and his brother were there first. And it's just that kind of nice, rewarding feeling to think, yeah, people can say what they want to say, and regardless, I'll still be there when it hits the fan. It's just, it's really cool. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. So, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Shayla, what are we going to talk about next?
I don't know. I'll figure it out. We're on break.
All right. So, stay tuned, listen to the nice music, and Shayla will hopefully have something when we come back.
New England thing.
Yeah.
And welcome back to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. With me, I've got Malik. I'm Malik. Shayla, Miller, and Tanner.
You got it.
Shayla, you were going to tell us about coffee, and there's new Starbucks in New York.
Like, there is. They're just not, they're sparingly here and there. They're not like, I can drive down, I mean, I live far, far away from civilization, but like Webster is like a really close like area, and there's not a Starbucks. It's all Dunkin'.
Yeah, so to clarify, there are Starbucks all over Manhattan.
Manhattan, not upstate New York. That's a completely different New York.
Okay.
Like this, like Manhattan is like shoved into the bottom of New York, and like half the time we don't even consider it New York.
Okay.
It just is. Like Long Island really isn't New York. Just technically is.
So where is the nearest, say, Starbucks from anywhere in your out of civilization area?
Like an hour and a half.
Would you drive that far for Starbucks?
Hell no. Heck no.
It's good enough.
So for you, you like Dunkin' more than Starbucks.
Yeah, Dunkin's cheaper than Starbucks too.
Dunkin' is cheaper than Starbucks, but I feel like with Starbucks, you're paying for what you get.
I feel like I pay for what I get at Dunkin' and it tastes just fine.
Well,
it has pretty little designs on the cups based on season.
Okay.
Bring it, Starbucks.
I believe, didn't Starbucks try to do that? And then they, like, got a whole bunch of, like, confrontation about having, like, red cups or whatever.
Well, then maybe they didn't do it correctly.
I have heard McDonald's is upping their coffee for the fall.
Yeah, the McCafe has been getting better.
Yeah, they've been improving. They said they're getting, like, a pumpkin spice to try to somewhat compete with the bigger coffee brands. So, being that there is no Starbucks in your area, is Dunkin' your go-to, or are there any other, like, smaller coffee shops
anywhere in your area? I mean, you don't really have any hipster coffee shops, so that's what you're looking for. It's, like, more, do you want, like, in the town, like, if I really want Dunkin' really badly, like, I mean, to go to a grocery store, I have to drive, like, at a minimum a half an hour away. But, like, if I need, like, desperately need something before school, we'll get coffee at, like, the gas station.
Okay. So, I don't drink coffee, but I looked up, I don't drink coffee at all.
Okay.
I probably should, but I don't. But I found a video of the top five coffee places around campus. Okay. And I want you guys to tell, after the video, I want you guys to tell me if you've had the coffee and how good it actually is.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, give me 1 second.
And welcome back to the second edition of the Century Countdown. I'm Todd Fisher alongside Dylan McKenna. Eddie Sheehy is on vacation.
He's off tonight.
He is off tonight. He was in Harrisburg, actually. So today, it's not about entertainment. It's about convenience, taste, and
price.
The top five grab-and-go cups of coffee on University Boulevard. And that includes Robert Morris.
Yeah.
And you and Paul Wintruba went out, our photographer went out last week to see what really was the best cup of coffee.
Yeah, we ventured all up and down University Boulevard and compiled a list of almost nearly 10 different coffee places. And we ranked them on taste, convenience, and price. There was a score of 1 out of 10 for every category. And the total score is what brought us to our top five list that we're about to go through.
So our producer, Ian Kidd, will start the clock for us in 5, 4, 3, 2. You ready on that? 1, and go. Number five
is Get-Go. Right outside of University, if you're going down University, take a left and you're going up, you got to get on the other side of the road to get to University Boulevard.
Okay.
It's the Get-Go. And the Get-Go right there is a ranked 5, 8, and 6. And it wasn't a bad cup of coffee comparable to Sheets, but you know.
We're running out of time here. Okay. Number four.
McDean's.
Okay.
McDonald's right up there on University Boulevard. A 4, an 8, and an 8 for taste, price, and quality.
All right. And number three, close to our hearts, Romo's.
Romo's. It won on the convenience, right, a 10. And a 7 and a 3 for the taste and the price. It's pretty expensive coffee, but, you know.
Number two, Starbucks, not next to McDonald's, but
at
Hale.
Yeah, it won on the convenience side, and it was the best cup of coffee we had all day.
And number one, altogether,
Sunoco. Believe it or not, gas station coffee.
Guessed.
We walk in there, the owner goes, best cup of coffee. That's number six.
And you believe it, so 3, 2, 1, and that's it. So that's the top five grab-and-go cups of coffee on University Boulevard. We had a couple of different opinions, saying Eaton Park, Bob Evans, Exonat. That's not grab-and-go. So Sunoco was the best?
Yeah, Sunoco, you know, it was really good coffee. Walked in, the owner says, hey, we've got really good coffee. We're like, well, we'll see about that. But at the end of the day, it was pretty good coffee. Better than Sheets and Get-Go and the other gas stations. Way better than BP. And for a price, it's 99 cents for any size.
Wow.
No matter what the size, only 99 cents a cup.
And that's perfect. So our job is done. So we want to know what you are thinking about when you're talking grab-and-go cups of coffee. So look right below us right now. I mean, literally right here. For more, visit rmucentralmedia.com. Dylan and Paul Wintruba, our photographer, went out and actually did it. There's a big report on it. You can read it whenever you want. You can follow us at Facebook and Twitter at rmucentralmedia on both of those outlets. And I think that's going to be it. So next week, you're not going to be on. You'll be behind the camera.
I'll be behind the camera.
And our producer, Ian Kidd, will come on. We're going to talk some sports for you next week. So take care, everybody. Enjoy our little jingle, and we'll see you all next week.
All right, so...
I've had sheets. It's not very good. That's about it. My roommates had Romo's, and she, like, came back with the... She was, like, gone for an hour and came back with the cup still full. I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, this needs creamer.
Okay.
I didn't think it... I mean, I didn't like it either, but...
Well, Romo's has creamer, doesn't it? Like, right outside
the... Yeah, and it's right next to the microwave.
I know, but I don't know. It didn't... I mean, it didn't taste good right off the bat either.
Well... Some people don't like their coffee black, and that's fine.
But yeah, but like, you can some coffee you can put as much sugar and creamer as in it, and it still tastes bad.
That's true. But yeah, I think that there's no like Dunkin' Donuts around here.
Yes, there is. The Dunkin' Donuts is up the street, right up the road.
Oh,
it's like right there. It's like across from Starbucks. Good job, Billy. Didn't notice.
Probably. I still think Starbucks is objectively better.
But have, like, how consistently have you had Dunkin' any other kind of coffee?
Any other kind of coffee?
Yeah.
Back home in Mount Lebanon, there were, like, a couple small chains as well. There was one just called Uptown Coffee, which was in, like, the little, like, storefront area of Mount Lebanon. And then there was Coffee Tree, which was pretty good. So I've had those, and then there's also like a Dunkin' Donuts and a Starbucks like right next to my house. I've had all of them like reliably, and I just think that like I've had more good cups of coffee at Starbucks than I have had at Dunkin' Donuts.
So Miller, would you consider yourself a big coffee drinker?
I'd say I'm more of a tea drinker when it comes down to it. But some mornings you just really need like the extra boost. Coffee's good. Or sometimes, you know, tea is just like not what you need in a given moment. Because it is kind of just like leaf water.
I don't drink coffee too much. Occasionally I drink it. I've had Sheets and Gecko. I honestly think Gecko is better than Sheets. But... that's just my opinion, but I've also had Dunkin' and Starbucks and all that, and they're all good and probably not comparable because I'm not a big coffee drinker, but you know, whatever coffee tastes good, I mean.
I drink about a cup of coffee a day, if not more. It's a problem. I don't know, my roommate has, I mean, I have Dunkin' K-Cups. I know we're shocked. My roommate has, I think, Cinnabon? Yeah.
Cinnabon,
yeah.
Yeah.
At the airport?
K-Cups. Yeah. Like, she has those in coffee form, and they taste...
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
We can go to Cinnabon in the airport. I just realized that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that anymore.
Yeah, didn't they, like, open up... close. Didn't they open up the air mall or something?
Yeah. You can go into the air mall now.
Yeah, and that's just shop around. You don't need a ticket or anything.
I did hear you have to go through the same TSA security as if you were flying. But yeah.
I mean, you don't have a bag, so you don't have to worry about bag check. Just the line.
Well, you might have like a purse or something. Girls have a purse.
Some of us don't have that
luxury of really deep pockets.
Speaking of flying, there is something I want to say. On the last break, my friend just Snapchatted me a picture. He got his wings. He was over in Houston for the last few months in boot camp for the U.S. Armed Forces Air Force Reserve. And he just Snapchatted me a picture of the wings he got, and I just wanted to congratulate him on his hard work being with the Air Force Reserves. And I know being down in Houston in the recent past hasn't been the best, so yeah, I just kind of wanted to throw that out there.
All right, congratulations. All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, Tanner, you're our final topic.
I have still not decided if we're going to talk about the new It movie that releases today / tomorrow, whichever one it is, or if we're going to talk about why everyone hates Miller. But stay tuned, and we will have that answer when you come back.
Or hurricanes. We can talk about hurricanes.
Or hisicanes.
what?
Where is it?
Okay, Google, can you play the Great Big Celebration playlist on Spotify?
Perfect. Thanks, Google.
Okay, there we go. Forgot to turn all the mics on.
You're good, you're good.
Hello, and welcome back to Army Chat on Army Radio, your campus, your voice. I am Malik.
I'm Shayla.
I'm Miller.
And I'm Tanner.
All right, Tanner.
Well, over the break, I decided to have a change in heart and leave Miller alone for once. I decided to talk about the national news, like not just Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma, but also about all the western states on the West Coast and the tragic, traumatizing wildfires they are facing out there. Because this is some pretty bad stuff. I know all these hurricanes and down south is pretty devastating, but these wildfires, I lived out in wildfire country, and we've actually been evacuated from wildfires, so wildfires are nothing to mess with. So I just wanted to call some attention to pretty much the national side and see what we're thinking about that.
I think that the world might be ending.
I hate it when people say that.
The world is not ending. It's just how the weather works.
I was actually told that today, actually, that being the eclipse with a bad national leader, I've heard everything, that a bad leader will bring bad natural causes.
That's not scientifically proven.
Yeah, there was one person who...
I'm going to say that's wrong.
There was one person who referenced like the dates of like the eclipse and then the two hurricanes.
That's like saying that the world was going to end in 2012, and look, it's 2017, and we're all still sitting
here. I'm so excited for that.
I was in a hot topic when that happened.
What? When everybody said the world was going to end?
Yes.
Were you shopping or were you working?
I was shopping.
Oh.
I was so excited for that. All I remember about it was watching the movie 2012 when it came out. It was awesome.
I think that I was at a basketball game. I think that's how worried I was.
Yeah.
But during the break, I believe Malik informed me that there are a few tropical storms that are forming, as well as Hurricane Irma, that I was unaware of. So
yep.
What's that about, Malik?
So Jose is a tropical storm in the Atlantic right now, and Katia is a hurricane now?
I think it's a hurricane now.
A hurricane. I might look that up later.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But Hurricane Katia, Tropical Storm Katia, because that's what I know it as right now. That was around Texas.
Yeah, it's near Texas.
Yeah, it's in the
again.
Gulf right now.
Yeah, right where the last hurricane hit, Harvey.
Yeah, so Texas should just, wherever they evacuated to, they should just take their animals and stay away.
I actually saw a post on social media from FEMA, which is the nation's emergency pretty much support system, and they said that if these tropical storms and hurricanes pick up and continue the devastation they're on, FEMA will eventually run out of money for support. So FEMA's really hurting with all these storms because they're also out in the West fighting these fires too. So we're in, our country's fighting some pretty tough battles against Mother Nature, so.
Now, do you think it's because of climate change? That's another thing that I hear all the time.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I think that you just get bad storms every once in a while, just how it works.
Definitely with the rising ocean levels due to melting ice caps, it is making it more likely for hurricanes to occur. So, like, short answer, yes. The long answer, yes, and there's a lot other things that are playing out.
The Earth goes through warm periods and it goes through cooling periods, so why can't this just be another warm period? Like, yeah, it's making more likely to happen, but that doesn't mean that, like, in 2 years from now that the world isn't going to freeze.
Well, the reason for that, actually, is because when you look at the historical paths of the warm periods and cold periods, mm-hmm. like, they happen in, like, these huge gaps, right? And now we've kind of just, like, through industry, just, like, sped that along, like, a considerable amount to the point where now it's like working through like extremes that our world like wasn't ready for just yet.
And it doesn't mean that it can't have another extreme and become cold again either.
You're right, it can become freezing.
Yeah, and then, exactly. So why does climate change have anything to do with it? There are scientists that prove there is climate change and there are scientists that prove that it aren't, so there isn't.
Well, I kind of believe it's not necessarily exact climate change, but global warming, I know, has been a problem that we've pretty much faced for a while. I do think global warming has an effect based on, like, the ice caps melting, the waters rising, giving pretty much Mother Nature more to stir up for hurricanes and tropical storms and stuff. But as far as wildfires have been pretty much every summer you hear about at least one massive wildfire. I guess this summer we've had two or three massive ones. But, I mean, wildfires are kind of more common, and they're pretty much just as devastating because they burn everything in its path. Like, you can't just tell the fire to go around this because it's a historical landmark. Like, it does the same damage, but I think as far as, like, the tropical storms and the more water-related devastation, that's kind of caused by eventual, like, global warming and stuff like that, whereas the wildfires and stuff are kind of just common based off lightning strikes and campfires. Yeah. And people being irresponsible.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
The other thing is wildfires are normally, like, forested areas, right? Or at least, like, densely wooded.
Yeah, some of them can start, like, I've heard them start from numerous causes, lightning striking, whether it be a tree, a power line, building of some sort, or even campfires, letting a campfire go, or...
But, like, so a wildfire isn't going to, like, erupt in, like, the middle of Austin, Texas?
I mean, no, but it is possible for fire to pretty much start anything, because something I've learned, fire can pretty much burn anything. There is really no fireproof. It just fire resistant to a certain temperature, so pretty much anything out there is burnable, like can be burned.
Yeah.
It just depends on the fire resistant temperature that it's built to. But I mean, it's devastating to see, because where I'm from, like I said earlier, I had to be evacuated before, like, this was a while ago during a wildfire because it was threatening in our area. And so it's just kind of devastating to see, like, you can see massive wildfires, you can see them in the skies. Like, there's one in Montana right now, and I have people in Denver that say they can just see the red glowing sky because, like, that's how bad it is.
But wildfires can't start, like, essentially, like, in the middle, like, a hurricane starts based on, like, melting water and
other things. So
But, like, oh, hold on. You can tell me the scientific way that it starts in a minute.
I can.
Like, wildfires have to be started by something. By lightning. By a campfire being left on. It can't just happen like a hurricane does.
Hurricanes and tropical storms are definitely more nature-bound, just starting on a whim.
That's why we can, like, track them as they're, like, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. But, like, so wildfires wouldn't have anything to do with climate change.
Wildfires... maybe, like, you can detect that there's, like, a thunderstorm. But even if it's, like, somebody's campfire, like, you can't detect that until the wildfire's already underway.
No, and that's kind of what I was trying to get at. You can't necessarily blame wildfires on climate change or global warming because that has a general cause, whether it be lightning, which is a part of nature, but lightning or a campfire.
Mm-hmm. And wildfires have happened, like, years before humans just because of lightning and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like... yeah, one or two people are going to have, like, a fire get out of control or are irresponsible with, like, putting out a cigarette.
Right.
Like, that's all it can take sometimes. It's just dry leaves and a cigarette.
Yeah.
But it happens. Like, it's not the best thing. But, like, respond quickly. Put out the fires. Do what you can to aid it.
No one's saying it's any less devastating. It's just can't be related to...
right, exactly.
...technical natural disaster.
I want to get your guys' feelings on, because I know I just kind of sit back and think the southern part of our country is completely underwater and the western part is on fire. Like, how do you see this affecting our country, like, financially in the long run, like, after the fire's out, after the hurricanes and stuff have passed and all the unfortunate fatalities? Like, how do you see this affecting us in the long run? Start with Miller.
Well, it's definitely going to impact the economy in a pretty bad way.
We've already seen it affect the economy. Gas prices have spiked because of the oil fields in Texas had to be shut down because of the storm. So, I mean...
yeah. So, like, definitely increasing, like, government and individual spending in order for just, like, relief efforts alone. Or, like you said, gas prices. You know, it's going to make it hard for everybody in the country. Obviously, harder, especially for people in, like, Texas and Florida who are going to, and Louisiana, who are, like, experiencing the full blow of the hurricane.
Well, it's also going to take, like, a greater impact on, like, the economies of each individual state itself. I mean, Florida, depending on how badly they get hit, I mean, they have a lot of spring training for baseball. I realize that it's months away, but if, like, the facilities aren't up and running by that time, no one's going to want to be down there, and therefore they're going to take their spring training somewhere still warm, but not Florida or Georgia. They're going to stay out of them because they're so, and therefore that's going to impact the economy of those states because no one's going to travel down there to watch games. So they're not going to pay for hotels or tourism or anything like that. Even now, the NFL has moved teams out of Texas because of hurricanes. They're going to do the same in Florida with Miami. The baseball in Florida still has teams going. Like, they're not.
They actually already postponed a Miami Tampa Bay game from Miami. They postponed it until, I believe, November-ish because they didn't want to lose revenue by moving it because they were talking about moving it to Pittsburgh possibly. They didn't want to lose the revenue of leaving Miami, so they decided to postpone it until, I assume, the bye week.
Yeah.
In November. So it's definitely going to affect the states as well as the country economically. But here's the interesting part, because I've been asked this a lot. Like, people are just kind of joking around and they're like, what do you think is going to happen first, World War III or another civil war? I know our country is not necessarily seeing terms with each other versus all the beliefs and all these rules and the laws and all that. But I do believe in times like this, you've already seen it with Harvey, how many people have shown support and been down to help. I know people that have went down to Harvey, down to Texas, just to help out victims and search for people. So I definitely think that Americans aren't going to let those controversies get in the way of the greater good in times like this. And that's what I think sets us apart from any other country, is we say a lot of things, but when it comes down to it, we're all there for each other, because in times of disaster, we don't really have a choice. We have to stick together.
Yeah, and that's part of, like, the basic foundation of America is really, like, people a lot of people come here for like a better future, and that's because that's like the biggest promise that America has offered, is like to like have just like a better future from whatever lives you have. And like that's a lot, you got a lot of refugees coming from other countries. So think about like Syria. People fleeing Texas and all of the states affected by hurricanes just to get out of like a hurricane's path, or like that, and think about how that applies to people fleeing their homes from like terrorist attacks and everything.
Do you think that people that used to live where those hurricanes hit will say, all right, enough, and move out of the state?
Some people do. Like, there are some people that say, I'm done, and leave. But the people who really have say they've been there their whole life, or they really fell in love with the spot, wherever it may be, those are the kind of people that say, we're going to stay, rebuild, get through this, and we're going to go on. But the fact that it is on the coast, they are doing that, making that decision, knowing that this could happen again because of where they're at.
It's like the people that live in New Orleans, they basically live in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
And they choose to stay there, but
a lot of it's like, when it's all you ever know, like, it's hard to move on from that, you know?
Yeah, which I guess is true. I'm 18, so I just don't know how you could place yourself in a situation where something like that could happen to you, mm-hmm. and you still are okay with being there, knowing that it's a possibility, or at this point, like, even a better possibility. I mean, we go a few years without any major hurricanes, but I mean, there's always, like, you can expect within about 5 years you're going to get hit with one, you're going to get hit hard.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I know times are tough in America right now, but I do believe, like I said earlier, that America will power on and we will get through this. And we all, of course, wish the best of luck and send our thoughts and prayers to everyone fighting the wildfires, hurricanes, the victims, supporters, volunteers, and everyone who's just helping out for the cause. We all send our thoughts and prayers, so hopefully that all works out good for them guys down there.
All right, and that's a good note to end on. We will see you all next Thursday on RMU Radio. You are listening to
RMU Chat.
Your campus, your voice.